A Skagway shop owner is found not guilty of misrepresenting Native art, and a fiber optic cable aimed at improving Upperland Canal internet is set for installation this month. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. A Skagway shop owner was found not guilty of misrepresenting Native-produced art in federal court on Friday. Rosemary Liebert owns Lynch & Kennedy Dry Goods and was the subject of an investigation by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service over the past couple of years. She was charged this spring after selling a piece of art to an undercover agent in 2015. In Juneau court last week, federal prosecutors tried unsuccessfully to prove that Liebert knowingly deceived the agent, who was posing as a customer. KHNS's Jillian Rogers reports.
Liebert was one of five store owners or employees in Southeast to have federal charges laid this year for misrepresenting Indian-produced goods. She's the only one to go to trial.
The irony of this case is that Ms. Liebert believes very strongly in the law, and she doesn't want anyone misrepresenting non-Native art as Native art.
That's Liebert's attorney, Michael Satin.
She has Native employees. She cares about Native artists. So she'll continue to run her business. She'll continue to run to sell both Native and non-Native art and to represent it properly, as she has in the past.
Under the Indian Arts and Crafts Act, it's illegal to offer, display, or sell goods that misleadingly suggest that they were made by a Native person. The artist has to be a member of a tribe or certified by a Native tribe as a non-member artisan. Liebert's employee, Judy Gangler, was also charged, but the misdemeanor was dismissed because prosecutors thought they would be better off focusing their efforts on Liebert. Using recorded exchanges between a Fish and Wildlife agent and Liebert in June 2015, the prosecution tried to show that Liebert knowingly deceived what she thought was a customer. U.S. Assistant Attorney Jack Schmidt says the agent used the words Native, Eskimo, and Indian to describe a piece of art, and Liebert never clarified that the piece was not crafted by an Alaska Native artist. Here's Schmidt.
I thought that that short transaction and those statements that were adopted by her basically indicated that she was representing it or falsely suggesting that the item was in fact a true Alaska Native art piece or an Indian piece. Jury just didn't see it that way.
After an hour of deliberation, the 12-member jury unanimously came to the not guilty conclusion. The trial lasted less than a full day. Satin argued in court the recording of the conversation wasn't reliable enough to warrant a conviction. But perhaps more importantly, he says, an email exchange between the undercover agent and Liebert 9 months prior to the in-person interaction in the store was proof that she was being upfront about the piece of art.
In that email, the agent pretended to be a customer and asked her specifically if the artist was or was not Native, and Ms. Liebert very clearly and explicitly said that that artist was not Native. And this is the same artist about whom the government, the agent sought to purchase a piece of art 9 months later.
The agent bought the piece for just over $1,100. Prosecutor Schmidt says Liebert had plenty of opportunity on the day of the transaction to, quote, clarify or correct that the piece was not made by a Native artist. The art in question was a sculpture of the Native blanket toss done by a Cambodian artist who lives in Juneau. Pawning art off as the work of a Native artist is a bigger problem in Southeast than elsewhere in the state, Schmidt says, because of the abundance of cruise ship visitors.
Just because we've lost one case, I don't think we did it in vain. I think that there was a purpose behind it, and that was to get business owners in this type of industry to comply with the law and to, you know, basically be truthful with their customers about what they're selling.
Defense attorney Satin says it's a shame that Liebert's reputation might have taken a hit over this.
Hopefully people will realize that she has been vindicated, that she is not trying to misrepresent artists at all, that she's a good person trying to just run a small business the right way.
Two Juneau gift shop owners took plea deals and agreed to pay fines, while a third store owner in Ketchikan is in the process of making a plea deal to avoid trial. Calls to Liebert were not returned by press time. In Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
Dreams of access to faster internet in Haines and Skagway may come true later this year. This month, Alaska Power and Telephone is set to install an underwater fiber optic cable in the Upperland Canal. The cable will grow internet capacity in Haines and Skagway. This month, a ship holding an 86-mile fiber optic cable will make its way from Washington to the Upperland Canal. In mid-September, the crew will start laying the cable on the seafloor. AT&T Chief Operating Officer and soon-to-be CEO Mike Garrett says the company is installing the fiber optic connection in order to build for the future.
What's happened in the past and we expect in the future is the demand for data, whether it's on the internet or through video or whatever, is only going to increase. And so we're trying to build for the future.
Right now, AT&T uses a microwave network to provide internet service. Garrett says the microwave is doing just fine handling the current demand, but the fiber optic cable will allow unlimited capacity as demand and traffic grows.
Right now, we don't have any congestion, but we see that if we wanted to have higher speeds in Skagway and Haines, in the future, we wouldn't have enough capacity, hence we're building the fiber optic ahead of time.
Garrett says the goal is to provide faster speeds and higher data caps at lower prices, although he says he can't make any promises about a drop in rates.
Yeah, talking about a $10 million investment, in and itself, it wouldn't necessarily be driving down internet prices. It improves the value of what we're providing.
Garrett says current internet customers won't necessarily notice a difference when the fiber is turned on because there's already enough capacity in the microwave network to handle demand. But AT&T will unveil new internet packages later this year or early next year. Those packages will offer faster download and upload speeds and higher data caps, Garrett says. Although he wouldn't provide specifics about how the packages will differ from current options.
When you go to see a movie, do they tell you what the movie is before you go see it? No. So we're holding a little bit in reserve for later on down the line. If people would like to give us feedback in regards to what they might like to see as packages, we'd love to hear about it.
The fiber optic line will run from Lena Point near Juneau to Lutac Inlet by Haines and then up to Smuggler's Cove near Skagway. AT&T has already done work installing manholes and other infrastructure in those locations. Once the underwater cable is installed, Garrett says the company will conduct tests, which will take about a month.
And we're looking at middle of October to the end of October to be fully up and running and carrying traffic over that.
The plans to increase internet capacity in Haines and Skagway using a fiber optic cable have been in the works for about 2 years. Earlier this year, AT&T was granted permission from the Alaska Department of Natural Resources to use more than 300 acres of state tidelands and submerged lands for the cable. AT&T will pay the state $35,000 annually for the land. The project is estimated to cost $10 million total. Garrett says there are no concrete plans to extend the fiber optic cable to the Yukon, but AT&T is open to the possibility. And because the fiber optic connection has unlimited capacity, Garrett says that type of extension would have no impact on the service in Alaska. A local Alaska power and telephone manager says animal vandalism was the cause of 2 of 3 power outages that all happened within the last 3 weeks. AT&T's Darren Belisle in Skagway says the frequency of outages recently has been unusual, but he says the timing seems to be a coincidence. The most recent outage was Monday around 3 p.m., Belisle says a raven got into AT&T's main power transformer in Haines. The Corvid interference caused the entire Upperland Canal power grid to go dark for about 15 minutes. The raven did not survive the encounter. Belisle says the transformer already has bird protection, but the power company is looking into putting additional deterrents in place. An outage on August 19th that cut out power to about 140 Haines customers was also sparked by a bird. Belisle says it appears an eagle carrying a salmon hit a power line at about 1.5 mile on the Haines Highway. That outage lasted about half an hour. Just a few days later, on August 22nd, there was an equipment failure at the Skagway hydropower plant. Belial says, quote, one computer quit talking to another one. Skagway and Haines customers lost power for about 15 minutes until AP&T workers could turn on the backup diesel system. Belial says the equipment problems are now repaired. If customers are having issues with power surges in their homes, Belial says they should check their grounding and call AP&T if they need help. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.